Right, guys, first of all, I'm glad you guys had a good time on a two-day deal. The pictures of you guys and the sheep were quite endearing. Okay. We're going to have a really good topic today that has a lot of Lomdish implications and a little bit of Machshav implications also. But let me just give you a little bit of background. It's actually a famous Shastugya. Okay, here, let's see what we got here. Okay. We have as follows. We have an idea of a minimum shear. Then when the Torah uses a verb, let's say achila, there's a standard amount. Okay, of course, what's the most standard halachic amount? A kezayin. And I just want to point out, notice that could play a role both in mitzvos and in isurim. If the Torah says, Be'erev tochlu matzot, what do we tend to say halachically? On Pesach night, you have to eat a kezayin of matzah. If the Torah says, don't eat chametz, what do we tend to say? That achil again means a kezayin. Now let's be careful there, because what does that mean? So the psak tends to be, you only get the onesh, you only get the punishment if you ate a kezayin. If you ate less than a kezayin, it's still usser, but there's no punishment. So notice how kezayin is influential on both sides of the divide. Both on the mitzvah side of the divide, you have to eat a minimum amount for it to be eating. And on the iser side of the divide, that there's certainly no punishment when you eat less than the shear. Where the iser comes from is what we're going to discuss right now. Okay, everybody agree with that so far? Okay, and that is the famous sugya called chatzi shear. Okay, Sage, thank you. What is the status of... Guys, I think... Sage, did you give out all the sheets and not get one yourself?
Oh, no. Josh, no.
Okay. Guys, are there more sheets somewhere? Looks like Sage is looking for them. Okay. Thank you. Joey Kaplan, thank you very much. Okay, oh, here we go. Okay, so let's look at where this comes from, what the status is. Okay, so let's start with Yom Ein Gimel Mebed. Okay. Yom HaKippurim Aser Ba'achila V'Shtiyo V'Chitza V'Sichav Nilasinov Tashmish Amita. So this is quite famous, guys. Yoma, which is, of course, the Masechet at Yom Kippur. Yoma means the day. So it's actually interesting, because if you ever learn Masechet Yoma, guys, Josh Milstein, you get to this in Daf Yomi one day, the only part of Yom Kippur that's really our Yom Kippur is the last chapter. What are the first seven chapters about? Yom Kippur and the Beit HaMikdash. That was a big deal, right? The Seol HaShem, the Seol HaZazel, etc. Our Yom Kippur is really only the eighth chapter. So how does the eighth chapter start? These are these things that are usser on Yom Kippur. Now notice which word the Gemara used. It used the word usser. Now usser is not such a strong word. What would be a much stronger word? Chayev, right? Usser just means you can't do it, right? Because in halakha, there's always the usser mutter axis, can I do it or not? And the chayev putter axis, do I get a punishment? So the Gemara says, wait, usser, unish. All right, sorry, I can't resist one more point, guys. Notice how many nuyim are listed?
Six.
But we always talk about the chamish nuyim. This was a big favorite to elementary school teachers. Why is it five and not six? Because achila and shtia are one. But when you're teaching this in fourth grade and you don't want to talk about husband and wives being together, there's this famous trick. You just leave Tashmish Shemita off and count Achila V'Shtia as two. They make clever moves with elementary school teachers throughout Jewish history. Okay, but the reality is Achila V'Shtia are one. Okay, so now the Gemara says, wait about these five Inuyim. Usser, why use that term? Anush Karidu. What's the right way to say it? Yechayv Kari. Amra Vila Vitim Rav Yirmiyah Lo Nitzricha El Lachatzi Shir. What's the case discussed in the Mishnah? I'm eating pachol mi shir. If I'm eating less than the shir, what can I not act? What can't happen to me? That's what we said, right? Chatzi shir could be usser, but it can't be that you get an onesh. There's no onesh for chatzi shir. Because that bolsters what we've been saying so far. Then the world of prohibitions, chatzi shir is usser, but no punishment. Okay, now comes a famous machlokas, guys. You cannot hang around any yeshivish party if you don't know this machlokas. Okay, it's good. After this, guys, you go to yeshivish party. Beforehand, you would have been kicked out. Okay, here we go. Gufa, chatzi shir. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Aser min haTorah. What kind of Isser is it? Deraita. Reish Lakish Amar Mutter min haTorah. It's a rabbinic prohibition. With Deraita, you can actually eat a chatzi kezayit of chametz. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Aser min haTorah. Now here comes, guys, let's pay close attention. What is the basis of saying that it's an Isser Deraita? Kibben dechazi litzterufei isura kachal. Now that line could mean a lot of things. Let's just translate it first. What's chazi litzterufei? It's fit to join, meaning if I eat half a kezayit could be joined with another half a kezayit. That's why it's aser deraita. Now, if you had to spell out the svara, guys, what's the svara saying that? What does that mean? Since it could be mitzdarif. So what? Yoni Kurtz. Excellent. So one way to say it is that it's a fence. that the way to get to eating the kazayit, we eat half a kazayit, and you're halfway there. And therefore, you're much closer to violating the Isser. So there's almost like a deraita siyug, a deraita fence, so you not get to the full thing. That is one classic way of understanding chazi leads to uvei. Josh Milstein, what do you think?
Then you could either eat a reviyah, because then a reviyah is you look forward to that, and then it's the full thing, right?
Okay, so you want to know at that point why... Okay, so the truth is, to be fair, it could be the chazi shir doesn't have to mean exactly half. Chazi could just mean a partial. So your point is a good point. I would just say that's not obvious that you're halakhically wrong. Maybe that is exactly the case. Gas age.
Well, it also could just be that, like, part of eating a whole shear at some point encompasses eating part of that shear. So it's like getting to do something that's, the act doesn't immediately shift from mutter to usser when you use the shear.
Okay, excellent. Did you ever hear this? You just thought about yourself right now. Okay, guys, we're going to go out of order. You guys know I like when shir's a little dramatic and dynamic. So there's a famous chakira in Rav Chanan Wasserman, and that chakira is exactly Yoni Kurtz for Sage Friedman. So let's look at that chakira. We'll go out of order a little bit, guys. Usually when there's a sefer called Kovetz, it's often Rav Chanan, right? Kovetz Ares, Kovetz Shmuel. So go to source 6, and he has a beautiful formulation of this chakira. He says, "Hine betam chatzi shir sa'asim na Torah." What's the reason why chatzi shir is aser? Ita b'yumayin abet chazi litzdarufei. Here we go, guys. This is great. This is even better than Chefsagavra. Get this down. Okay? Now, again, this is called the Sima, Siba versus Siman Chakira. Let's get the two words down. We'll understand what's going on here, guys. If I say something's the Siba, what am I saying?
Reason.
It's the reason. Right? We shouldn't do B because of reason A. If I say it's the Siman, what am I saying? It's not the cause or the reason, it just reveals something about the situation. Now, if that sounds too abstract, let's plug it in right here. If I say chazi litzderufe is the siba, am I in Yoni's camp or Sage's camp? Yoni. What is Yoni saying? Since I might end up eating another half and violating this biblical prohibition and getting an onesh, much smarter to stop right here and to not do it at all. Okay, that would be chazi litzderufe as a siba. What does it mean it's a siman? Let's read one more line. To kim de chazitzufi al karchach yeshbo iser. Demlokin lo yisaf shir shalit. Basically, it's saying it can't be that two rights make a wrong. Like, let's say when I eat chatzi kizayit, I haven't done anything wrong. So why would it be that when I eat another chatzi kizayit, all of a sudden, I'm chayiv? Right? Either eating chametz and pesach is bad, or it's not bad. You could say it's only more severely bad. Basically, what's this arguing? That quantity is just a question of how much bad. Quantity is not a question of whether it is bad. So what does chazdes trufi mean there? Since I could eat another half and be chayev, what does that reveal? That the first half was also problematic. I haven't seen the difference there? Okay, we'll do this once again, because this is a very subtle chakira. Okay, what is chakira again? Is chazdes trufi a siba? What means a siba? It's a cause, it's a rationale. Don't eat half because you might end up eating the other half. It's dangerous. Or as Sage would say, it's a siman. If eating a second half could make me chayiv, that reveals that the first half must have been a bad thing too. Right? Things don't get bad just because you double the amount. They were either bad to begin with or they weren't bad. One more second, guys. Now, since we're already in the world of great lumbus, siman, now you could all go at lunch and say, forget chefza gavra, siman siba, that's where it's at. Can anyone tell me a nafkamina between the two? We always like to look for nafkaminot. Is it some kind of fence, as Yoni Kurtz would have it? Or is it more inherent, as Sage would have it? Avi, what do you think?
Maybe it's the nafkamina could be whether the first was in a bear in the first place. So, like, if the first thing you ate was wrong, or, like, in a bear, or problematic.
Okay, you're on the right track. Although, I would just say, even though I think you're on the right track, even if I say it's a fence, the fence is still problematic. It's just problematic qua fence. But I think you're on the right track, though. Yeah. Joey Gedalia, in a Hawaiian shirt. Oh, where's the Hawaiian Shirt Club in the back there? Aaron Levin, what do you got today?
I forgot.
It's okay. David Bentor? He's not even here. Oh, there he is. Okay. David, how come? I don't understand. You're such a good guy. How come Shirt Club puts you to sleep every week? Okay. How's, look, the Sioux lady's not even asleep. Look. Okay. He's totally into it. Okay. Yeah, Joey.
We will drop the siman issue and let them drink less than a shear it's less of a problem than...
Okay, very interesting. So Joey's right. One way to look at this a bit more might be the case when we tell someone to eat less than a sheer. Okay, we'll get to that a little bit later. Noah.
This one that Rafalan brings down himself, but like, if it's the end of Yom Kippur...
Excellent. So there's a famous case as follows. What if it's the last second of Yom Kippur, and I would like to eat a chatzi sheer of food? All right, so what do you say, guys? So if the issue, who should asr it, who should mater it? Sage should? Prohibited, because couldn't sage, chatzi stufa just shows that it's inherently wrong. So it's just as inherently wrong in the last second of Yom Kippur as the first second of Yom Kippur. But if I'm on the Yoni Kurtz team, it's only offense so that I not come to finish this shiur, but if I eat the chatzis shiur in the last second of Yom Kippur, I couldn't possibly finish this shiur. So that, guys, this is well known. We'll see two other nafkamina. That is the most famous nafkamina. Right? What about a chatzis shiur in the last second, where according to the Siba theory, it is fine. According to the Siman theory, it's a problem. Yeah.
So I guess within the Yoni Kurtz approach, it kind of seems that like it's like D'oraisa making like a
gedder. Oh, very good.
Still not back, we said it maybe it's almost like a bridge, and I don't know if maybe breaks this down, I don't know if it's like that obvious or if I can say this, but it's almost like a plural saying like it's a svara of Hoyle that's like underlying.
I'm not going to read Hoyle, but I'm going to respond to your first point because I think this is a fascinating source you should know about. Guys, there's an Achron, I'm trying to think if I quoted him in, I think maybe just in my morning show, not in Chish. Did Rav Yosef Engel ever come up in your clothing this year? Just in morning show, right? Rav Yosef Engel has a fascinating chapter. We ask the following question, guys. Are there any Doraitas that are offenses? Guys, we're very used to the idea that rabbinic law is offense. But maybe one could argue, how does every deraita work? Every deraita is an independent value. It's not just there to protect some other deraita. So he raised this fascinating question. Maybe we should object to the idea of any deraita being offense. And he used three or four test cases that might be fences. So if you guys are curious, you had some good learning one late Thursday night, read Rav Yosef Engel on this question. Is there such a thing as a siyag or a getter deraita? Even though it's not my topic at all now, guys, just it's too interesting to pass up, anyone to toss out a possible candidate? A deraita they review as just a fence for another deraita, as opposed to an independent value? What do you got, Aaron Levitt? Excellent. So that is, okay, that is one of the things he discusses. If we say that, by the way, it's a little bit tricky here, because remember, guys, Machlokas, Rambam, Ramban, if Shomer Negiyah is deraita or derban, you guys are all aware of that, right? Right? Don't we all discuss that every day of Yeshiva High School? Yeah. Right? So the Rambam says that the drasha lo tikrivu legalot erva is a deraita drasha against Chibuk v'nishuk. The Ramban says it's derabanan. But here's the interesting thing that what Aaron just raised: when the Rambam says it's a deraita drasha, does that mean that I shouldn't kiss my neighbor's wife so that I don't come to have relations with her? Or there is an alternative, of course. What's the alternative? I shouldn't kiss her because I shouldn't kiss her. All right, so it's not obvious there, Aaron. You're right, that is a good candidate. It's not 100% clear that it's a siyag. Maybe it's an independent value. And if you have another one, Josh, all. Okay, yeah, Avi. Excellent. You guys could have written this from Yosef Engel. What about not having chomets in your property on Pesach, right? Bal yirah bal yimatzeh. Is that, again, some independent value? I'm trying to dissociate myself from the whole world of chomets. Or it's very simple. Smarter to not have chametz in your possession because you might end up eating it. So notice what you did, guys. You can get even better at the next yeshivish party you go to. Because you could quote to Yosef Engel and say, and I've got three candidates, three doraitas that might just be fences. Number one, chatzis shiur. Number two, bal yirah bal yimatzeh on Pesach. Number three, lo tikvu legalot erva in terms of shomer negiyah. Those are three interesting test cases to try out. Yeah.
Also maybe like driving a bike on Shabbos.
Okay, except for one thing, what's the problem with that? It's not us or deraita. We all know that the rabbis make fences. That's not up for question. The question is, are there any deraitas that are fences? Yeah, Noah. Very good. That's also an interesting example. Okay, why is it usher to cook meat and milk? Just to clarify how strong Noah's question is, right? It is really pretty unique in the world of Machlokas Asurot, right, guys? There are a lot of things in halacha that you can't eat. There are very few things in halacha that you can't cook. So is Bishul Basar B'Chalav some kind of Geder or Siag? I'm trying to remember. I think Yosef Engel raises that also. So we already have four interesting test cases, guys. I'm just trying to remember one thing. This T has two famous Sfarim. One is called Lekach Tov. One is called Asvon Doraita. I'm trying to remember which one it's in. I think it's in Asvon Doraita. Okay, I'll look it up at home, though. I'll get back to you guys. Okay, yeah. Chalav Akum. Okay, Dan Belge is a star of yeshiva, but he is caught in the same problem once again. Okay, what is the problem with the Chalav Akum example, guys? That is also Drabanan. Dan Belge, I'll give you a sign for the rest of Shir Kol, okay? You could think of 100 Siyagim Drabanan, but guess what? It won't affect our discussion. We're only interested in the Ritas. Okay, yeah, Yoni. Except for one thing, okay, Yoni Kirst did something very good, but we're not discussing it yet. Okay, we're not going to discuss it at all today. Our whole conversation today is about Chatzi Shir for Isurim. Unless I misunderstood him, Yoni's saying, what status does Chatzi Shir have for mitzvah? Is that your question? Well, no, because can I tell you why I thought it had to be your question? Because we don't make brachot on Isurim.
Yeah, but right, so...
So what's how could the brach be nafkamina if we don't make brachot on Isurim to begin with?
It's just that you're afraid of it, so then eating the food, you should still make
a brach. Ah, you mean a brachot rishona?
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting question. I'm sorry. That's a clever question, but I'm ignoring it for now. That is a clever question. Okay, yeah. David Benter, making a comeback. Okay, that David Benter guy is one of the most interesting guys in yeshiva, caught between the religious Zionist impulse and the Haredi impulse. Yeah, go ahead, David Benter.
Cordell.
Is what? Wait, what's this? What's the siyug doing what? What's the getter? Wait, Mimonavshach, if I'm actually carrying from one Ruth area to the other, wouldn't that seem to be a independent Isser? And if it's about, let's say, don't go out on Friday wearing something, that's a Durabana. Where do you have a deraita that's offense? And what is it? What's it offense for?
So that you don't end up using, like you don't end up transporting materials or building or some stuff.
I mean, you want to say that the 39th malacha is just to prevent you from doing the other 38? Okay, it's a big chiddush, though. Okay, big chiddush. Again, I'm not saying I can disprove it, but it's pretty big chiddush. That the only reason I can't carry from A to B is because we're afraid I'm going to do malacha in B. Look, you're raising a good question, which will be discussed some other time, which is Hotzah. And let me just do this for one second, guys. I know there's another tangent, but guys, listen to the tangents, you become educated. Hotzah is sometimes called a malacha garua. What would it mean it's a malacha garua? What's something garua? It's a lesser. Now, why is that, guys? What are we against Hotzah? Why is it like not stand the candle to, I don't know, plowing and planting and writing? What would make Hotzah a malacha garua? Al. Very good. Isn't almost ever the malacha, I change the world in front of me? Right? Even if I write something on a piece of paper, it used to be a blank piece of paper, and now it has my little poem on it. But when I do Hotzah, arguably, I haven't changed the world, I've just moved it around. Right? So it's not obvious at all why Hotzah should be a malacha. So this is a very interesting topic, maybe we'll do it in Shir Kol another day. Does that have any halachic implications? Is Hotzah just like a chiddush? But once it's in the mix, it's just like every malacha, or maybe there's certain leniencies built in to Hotzah. So I don't want to do too much of my attention here, because I've already done a long one, but I'm aware of three examples where there might be a kula built in to Hotzah because it's a malacha grua. So David, I'm saying you're on to a great question, and you have an interesting answer. There might be other ways to answer it also. Okay, if anyone's curious, Rav Re'im HaKohen is a very impressive Talmud Chacham, one of the Rashi of Oniel. He has a whole Sefer Hilchot Shabbat, Masechet Shabbat, where he has a very interesting theory why Hotzah is a malacha. Okay, and it's not for us right now, but it's a fascinating theory. Yeah, Chaim Stanton.
Even when the derivatives are
No, but aren't you cheating now? You're basically, no, it's not. Even if it's Xera, it's Xera plus. No, but the claim is the only reason the Torah assered X is so you don't come to Y. That's the only reason. I mean, that's the question. Is there such a model? Maybe there isn't. But, let's say one last thing, though. I'm not sure why it would be a theological problem if there'd be such a model. Maybe every legal system has independent values and fences. So why can't the right to have fences also? Right? It's not like unheard of. I understand why there's a little bit of a reluctance to say that. You want every deraita to have independent stature. But I'm not sure why it has to be that way. Yeah, Zach.
Can you make a case that, you can make a case for all the folks that they're independent?
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so Zach's right. I just have a little wary about converting to a full machshavah here. But where chukim fit in are interesting. Zach, I like your point very much, just I'm not sure I would categorize chukim as fences. Okay, chukim's point might be, I think you did a very clever parallel there, because in both cases you might say they're not for independent reasons, they're for some other reason. But I'm not sure that some other reason would be the same thing. Is that what I'm trying to say? But I do like your parallel. Okay, one more point, we're going to move on. Yeah, Dan Melch, wait, you have 20 more door buttons.
Actually, I have something that is like Doraita, you could add this fence for another Doraita.
Yeah.
So that's like the 10th commandment is Lo Tachmod. Like, so.
Oh, that's not, interesting. You say maybe Lo Tachmod is so that you don't come to steal it.
Yes. So
guess what, Dan? I should not make fun of you. That's a great example. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Okay, that was great, guys. Actually, Dan, I'm going to praise you publicly. There, just make fun of you. Okay, if you ever read Startup Nation, right? There's a discussion. Who has read Startup Nation? Okay, so there's a discussion there. Wait, Chaim, you ready? That's it. Chaim Stanton's the only serious guy in Yeshiva. Okay, so you had a discussion there why Israelis are good at high tech, at startups. So there's many theories, but one of the great theories is, how do people tend to succeed in startups? You have an idea and it fails. You have a second idea and it fails, and then your third idea makes it really big. But that means you only get to the third idea if you could deal with the failure of the first two. The claim is that you can only have a startup nation in a culture that can tolerate failure. If you're in a culture that can't tolerate failure, so then you never get there. It's a very powerful idea, actually. Okay, so Dan Belge, way to go. You tried once, it was Drabon. You tried again, it was Drabon. But did Dan Belge despair? He did not despair. He tried again, he nailed it to Doraita. Way to go, Dan. You belong in Startup Nation. Yeah. Yeah.
A literal offense, the market.
Oh.
It says, so then,
All right, I don't want to fight about it. Okay, all right, guys, we're going to move on. So let's just sum up. We done? I'm going to sum up. Okay. No, I'm not saying you're trying to be facetious. I just don't get it. Okay. No. Al was not trying just to be clever. He was trying to save shot. Okay. All right, guys, let's review the two tangents. We're going to get the two tangents down. We're going to move on. Why is Hotza Malacha Grua? You don't change the item in front of you. Great. In Rav Yosef Engel's discussion, whether any deraitas are fences, what are four possible candidates to be fences on a deraita level? Actually, now that Dan Bell just said it, five possible candidates to be defenses on deraita level. Here we go, guys. Let's go. Okay, what was the first one? Lo Tachmod. Shom Negia. Bishul Basar B'Chalav. Balira B'Yamatze. Wasn't there some fifth? Didn't I have a fifth? Oh, an Argamar. And? Chatzishir. Okay, we're good. That's pretty good. Five candidates. Okay, back to Argamar, guys. So we have this chakira about Chatzi Shir. Again, what's the chakira? Is it a siman or a siba? And then we discuss what nafkamina. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara and Yoma. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara and Yoma. And we have, now again, who said chazitz to Rav Yochanan? Because Rav Yochanan says it's aser doraita. Now I'm on the second line of Yoma. Reish lakashem amutam in the Torah. Achila amarachman avaleka. What does he say? If the Torah says lo tochal, what does lo tochal mean in halachic Hebrew? Don't eat a kazayit. So if I eat less than a kazayit, I didn't violate the answer. So he says it's purely rabbinic. Okay, here we go. Eighth day, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. All right, who's our keyword man here, guys? Okay, who should we pick on? Okay, Tanakh Eisenberg, can we pick on you? We'll see if your Tanakh expertise extends to Gemara. What kind of question is Eitve or Meitve? Okay, Abe Hirsch knows because he's memorized the Gemara card. Yeah, Abe Hirsch. From a?
From a
right. Yes, from a higher source. So Rav Yochanan says, very good. See, guys, you all memorized the Gemara card, like Abe Hirsch. Okay, here we go. You can take a break from your study of Christian theology and memorize the Gemara card. Okay, here we go. Adrian Yochanan is Lakish. Ainli Ella Kalshi Yeshnu Onesh Yeshnu Bazara. If there's an Onesh, there's a warning. The Chatzi Shirho V'Einu Ba'Onesh. I know there's no punishment. Yachol Einu Bazara. What would that mean? I might think there's no warning. Naming there's not even a prohibition. Talmud Lomer, Kol Chalev. What does Kol Chalev tell you? Well, guys, what kind of drush is the word Kol all the time? Kol comes to? Include. So Kol Chalev tells you, you can't even eat a Chatzi Shir. So doesn't that seem to indicate that it's an Isser? Doraita. Says Reish Lakish in classic fashion, Midrabanan, V'kra Asmachta Ba'alma. Right, that Brayta never meant it as a serious drusha, it's just an Asmachta. But let's leave aside Reish Lakish for a second. Now Rav Yochanan's kind of interesting, guys, because Rav Yochanan now has two sources. He's got a Svara and a Pasuk. If we stopped Rav Yochanan on the street and said, Rav Yochanan, why is Chatzi Shir Aser Midoraita? What two things can he say to us now, guys? I've got a Svara called Chaz leads to Rufe, and I've got a drasha called Kolchelev. So that raises the question that always intrigued me, what's the interrelationship between the drasha and the svara? And as you guys know, I'm a big believer in human reasoning, so I like the idea that even when there's a drasha, you can't really escape the need for some kind of svara. And we'll see why right now, because I think often if you're trying to apply a drasha, see what the scope is, well, even if you know the drasha from tradition, when you're trying to figure out the scope, what will you often have to do? Misvara, how far should I extend this drasha? So I'll give you a great example, guys, in the Tosefet Yom Kippur. Okay, Tosefet Yom Kippur has a great example of this principle. All right, let's take it away. Lefiza nichem ha'ashik shu ha'tosu. Right, Tosu is trying to figure out why do I need both kol chela plus chazetz drufe. Okay, dezu in akushya, di lav tama, if I didn't have the reason, lo yafinan mechelev l'shari suin shebet Torah. What might not have done? Again, I might start with the context where the drasha is taught. What's the context? Forbidden fats, chelev. Why would I not make the extension? Here we go. Mishum, I said, what's the place for a second? Shehein belav o b'mita, te'iklamifrech ma'ala chelev shekein b'kari. Now this is kind of interesting, guys, because most forbidden foods are not death penalty crimes. But apparently, for whatever reason, chelev is an iser kari. So what could I easily have said? If the drasha is in a chelev context, I would limit iser chatzi shir to kari-type endeavors. And then it wouldn't be a problem to eat, I don't know, unshechted meat, eating a chatzi shir of nevela. Right? Why should that be a problem? It's not like the paradigm of chelev. Look what he says now. Ah. What does he want to claim, guys? Very clever. All right, what does Chazlitz Rufe say? Well, whatever the Chazlitz Rufe Svara is, what if that Svara also applies not just to Kari type things, but to other things? So notice what he's done, and there's a model I think we should use a lot. We start with the Drasha, but we use Svara to apply the Drasha. So you really do need both. Right, kol chelev is how you know there's an iser called chatzi shir. How much should we encompass beyond chelev? Well, since we're rooting it in chazetz derufe, therefore we extend it beyond chelev to other categories as well. Having good so far? Okay, now there's a lot of great stuff coming up. I have to sneak it all in 19 minutes. Let's see if we can do that. Okay, let's go first to another nafkamina. Okay, again, what was our major chakira? Siman versus Siba. Corey Gold, how you doing? Guys, I never do this, but I would take advantage to make fun of Madrich during Shukali. Okay, Corey Gold might be the best Madrich we've ever had. But I'm kind of trying to figure out when he has time to find all these GIFs. Corey, get a life. Enough with the GIFs. Okay, next. Okay, so let's go back to the Kovich Moos. Okay. But I did preface it by saying he's probably the best Madrich we've ever had. Okay. Okay, but even when I praise someone like you criticize them, the praise is still real. It's not fake. It's still authentic praise. Okay. Oh, you're saying it's not two separate themes. It's one theme. Okay, that could be. Okay, unlikely, but could be. Okay, so let's look for another nafkamina. Okay, look at the last two lines of Rabbi Chanan. Okay, v'chein nafkamina. This is very clever, guys. I think Abe Hirsch was heading this direction. He just needed one more push. Im yesh al chatzi shir, shame ha isur. Kagon chelev o trefa, o kiyotze bezeh, o she'enu le isur b'fnei atzmo. Okay, what's Rabbi Chanan getting at in the second afkamino here? Let's say we say you can't eat chatzishir chelev or chatzishir nevela. What are the two ways of conceptualizing that? Ever catch what he's getting at here? Is chatzishir chelev an isur of chelev, and chatzishir nevela an isur of nevela, or are they simply both part of a larger isur called Chatzi Shir? Meaning, maybe you could say, what does the Torah do? There's one generic Isser, don't eat Chatzi Shir of anything that's Usser. And at that point, there's no difference between Chatzi Shir Chelev and Chatzi Shir Nevela. Or, Chatzi Shir Chelev should be viewed as a subset of Chelev. And Chatzi Shir Nevela should be viewed as a subset. Everyone understand the Chakira? But now comes the best part, guys. This is Rabbi Chanan's beautiful alumnus. I always say he's the clearest brisker. Guys, how could the two chakiras relate to each other? The siman siba question and the iser prati, iser kloli question. Can you see how you might logically draw a line between the two? Aaron Levitt. Oh, he's a little hesitant there. Yeah. You want to give a shot or no? You don't have to. No pressure. Just, I thought you were slowly, you were kind of debating whether to raise your hand or not.
No,
I
was
just scratching. You're just scratching your hair. This could take a long time. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else want to say how the two could, how could the two relate to each other? Yeah, simply. Excellent. Simcha's a future London of Israel. Guys, if I go with the Sage Friedman argument, what am I saying? That two wrongs don't make a right. Meaning if it was bad to eat a kazayit of chametz, it's bad to eat half a kazayit of chametz. Isn't that arguing that I'm already in the world of chametz eating when I eat a chatzi shir? So if I say the Sage Friedman argument that it's a siman, it's an iser chametz, not a general iser. But Simcha's right. What if I say it was all a siyug? It's not really like that I'm violating chametz yet. We're just afraid. So maybe what does Halacha say? Don't take chances about Isurim in general. There's one general Isur called don't take chances, which is a general Isur called Chatzi Shir. So I would agree 100% that Simcha, very, very good. If it's a Siman, then it's an Isur Chametz, it's an Isur Prati. If it's a Siba, you could say it's an Isur Kli. Now you might say, but well, that's so abstract, what does it matter? But then I have to tell you something amazing, guys. I'm going to do it outside because we're out of time, but there's an amazing Ramban in the Torah Adam in Source 9. Those of you who want to read it inside. Guys, the Ramban wrote a book on Avelut called Torah Adam. It's the most important halachic book on Avelut from the Rishonim. It has a big impact on laws of mourning. The Ramban raises the following fascinating question. Let's say somebody's sick and we're feeding them because of Pikuach Nefesh. Okay, so do we have an idea, maybe we have an idea that, feed them a less stringent Isser and not a more stringent Isser. So I've got Chelev and Avela and I could feed them to keep them alive. Since Chelev is Karet, I should feed them Nevela. Everyone good so far? Okay, but what if I could feed them Chatzi Kezayit Nevela or Chatzi Kezayit Chelev? Does it matter at that point? Guess what? The Ramban has two deot whether it matters or not. Now clearly, would you guys all agree, those two deot are exactly our question? A, if there's one generic Yisr called Chatzi Shir, then there's no difference in Halacha between Chatzi Kezayit Chelev and Chatzi Kezayit Nevela. So either one works. If I say every Chatzi Shir takes part of the identity of the full Shir Isser, so just like a full Kezayit of Chelev is worse than a full Kezayit of Nevela, so to a Chatzi Zayit of Chelev is worse than a Chatzi Zayit of Nevela. So this Ramban is a wonderful nafkamina for the second part of Rabbi Chanan. Let me just summarize Rabbi Chanan and take questions, and we'll get to the perhaps the last part of Shir. We'll see if we have time for two more parts. Again, what did Rabbi Chanan say, guys? Major question, Chakira Siman Siba. What are the two nafkaminas so far? As you guys said, last minute of Yom Kippur, and do we say, as Simcha said, is it an Isser Prati or an Isser Kloli? If you tell me, who cares whether it's an Isser Prati or Isser Kloli? So the Ramban came up with a great case. If I have to eat under duress, does it make a difference whether I do a Chatzi Zayit Nevela or a Chatzi Zayit Chelev? Okay, any questions that we've done thus far? Okay, yeah, Al. I tried to connect Siman to Prati, yes. Yeah, but the general rule, what's the svara of it? That quantity does not define wrongdoing. Wrongdoing is a function of quality, not quantity. Yeah. But that means that I'm already in the world of chametz eating when I eat half a kazayit of chametz.
Can you just apply that to any place where there's a problem of eating?
Okay, so let's see if we say that's always true. Okay, now we get to one fascinating guy. I love giving this year because the lumdus is good and the philosophy is good. It's just all good. Okay, is that really true what I just said? What did I say till now, guys? That wrongdoing is never a function of quantity, it's always a function of quality. Understand the svara? And that basically is the siman svara, and therefore chatzi shir is already involved in the problematic behavior. But the question is that true in life? Is that true in life that wrongdoing is always a function of quality and never a function of quantity? So take a look now at source 10. Okay, this is really wonderful. Okay, as you guys know, there are two Isurim in carrying on Shabbat. One is what David Ben-Tor mentioned before, right? Which is going from Rishud Yochid to Shur Abim or vice versa. Okay, what's the other way to violate Hotza, guys, besides that? Just in Rishud Rabim, what can I do? Carrying something for Amod in Rishud Rabim? You guys aware of that? That's also in a Siddurita? Okay. Now, we're going to come back to this later. What does that usually entail? What's called Akira, Havara, and Hanacha. What's the Akira? I pick it up. Havara, I bring it to its new place. Hanacha, I put it down. Great. But for our purpose now, let's focus on carrying something for Amot and Ushur Rabin. Now, you might have heard this idea that if I have something that I need to crucially carry on Shabbat, how do I do it? I do like two Amot at a time. Right? You ever heard that idea? And that way I'm not violating the real Isser. But look at this Chedusha Rifa. What am I violating when I do that? So you could have said, if I'm Rav Yochanan, what would most of you have said? If I'm Rav Yochanan, I'm still violating Isser Daraita, right? Whether it's Chazli Strufe, Kochelev, or a combination, I'm still violating Isser Daraita. Look at this Rifa, guys. Umiu b'mavir pachot pachot mi'abamot, leka ela isura d'rabbanon. Even Rav Yochanan would say, why? What's he getting at, guys? If you get this story, you're really good. Okay, why does he claim that even Rav Yochanan would not view this as... Can anyone tell me what it is? Yeah, no.
You need Akira.
Okay, but even aside that, besides the Akira, I think there's something else going on. We'll get to your story in the next source. Yeah, Sage. Oh, excellent.
But if you don't have Akira, then you never even...
Okay, but you guys were... I shouldn't have focused on the word Akira so much. I misled you guys. You're all right. What Sage said is right. What Noah said is right. But even if I did do an Akira and then walk to home and put it down, I think you could say this right here. What is he... The key word here is not Akira. The key word is Mimkomo. What's he getting at? Joey Dahlia. Here we go, guys. Ready for me. Now, another reason I love this year is I get to use one of my atrocious sports analogies. I always look forward to those. Okay, here we go, guys. Let's try the following argument. Who's a good baseball player here? Oh, we have Josh Shapiro, right? Josh, who can pitch against Josh? Oh, yeah? Is Turbo the best baseball player in the show? Okay, there you go. Okay, here we go. A multi-talented man, Tanakh and baseball. You have a conflict in your life. You have to figure out if you face east or west. Because okay, biblical man and baseball man, you have to figure it out. A conflict of identity there. Okay, we'll have to check with Jonah Eisberg which phases. Okay, so in any case... let's say Jonah Eisenberg's a great hitter. Okay, he hits the first time up against Josh Shapiro pitching, straight over the fence in center field, deep center field. Okay, hits a home run. Great. Okay, second time he's up, he pops out beyond, right behind second base. Okay, so the ump says out. Jonah Eisenberg says, wait, I don't understand. When I hit it 390 feet, it was a home run. So I hit half of that. I hit it 195 feet. Right, so it should at least be a double, right? It's half. So why is that a terrible argument? Because a home run is not just 390 feet. There's a threshold. If you pass the threshold, you've done it. Anything short of passing the threshold is zero. It's not half. If you hit the ball 378 feet and the center fielder catches it, it's not, there's no such thing in baseball as close to a home run. Close to a home run is not a factor, right? It is either a home run or it isn't. So I think that points to the fact that in certain areas of life, it's not true that quantity is just more or less of the same thing. Whenever there's a threshold you need to pass, right, then quantity is quality. Does everyone understand the point? Quantity being quality? Okay, great. Why is there an iser to carry something for amot in Rishut Rabim? Whatever I say that, what does halacha assume? That anybody who walks, their area... Like, let's say I have my space. Let's say we get into my personal space. What if halacha recognizes your personal space? Like, don't get in my space. Okay, so what if your personal space is 4 amot long? So what have I done when I carried something 4 amot? I moved it beyond my personal space. What have I done if I moved it 2 amot long? Not half of it. Zero of it. Everyone got that? So now we have a very important takira, right? Where maybe Sage's argument is often true, but not always true. Again, what is the Sage Siman argument? That if it's wrong to do in a larger quantity, it must be wrong to do in a smaller quantity. But now we've seen that might not always be true. If I carry something to Amot and Rishut Rabim, I can make the argument that that's not half of Hotzah, that's actually zero of Hotzah. That's like popping up over second. It's not half of home run. And therefore, it's not, even Rav Yochanan would agree that it's not Usser. All right, let's make one more point, because both Noah and Sage made this point. It's just good for a different case. Okay, then I'll take comments, guys. But as I said, it's just a great sugya. Look at the Sfas Emes. Here we go, guys. Okay, the most important Hasidic sefer out there, the Sfas Emes on Shas, a little known fact. But now you guys know the truth. More important than the Sfas Emes on Chumash, than the Kedushas Levi, than Noah, even more important than Rav Tzadok. That's where it's all at, the Sfas Emes on Shas. Okay, here we go. So it says the Sfas Emes. The Mishnah Shneim Ptuim L'Chorin Yira. Guys, remember that first Mishnah in Shabbat when like the Ani and the Balabai keep passing things to each other? Wait, but isn't each one doing a Chatzis Shir? So shouldn't be aser. And no, if it's right, if I like Rav Yochanan, it should be aser. But here, Noah and Sage are absolutely right. Why is it not Chatzi Shear? It's even more convincing. If there are three stages, Akira, Havar, and Hanacha, if I only do the Akira, only do the Hanacha, that's not I did the whole thing, but half quantity. That just means I didn't do the whole thing. Right there, it's even easier argument. There's even a terminology. People say that's not Chatzi Shear, it's Chatzi Melacha. Understand the phrase? Right, if I eat half a kazayin, I did the entire act, I just did it with a smaller amount. That's Chatzi Shear. Even in Shabbos, you could say that. If I do bishul, but I do bishul with a very small piece of food, that's Chatzi Shear. But if I just do Akira, or just do Hanacha, that's not Chatzi Shear. That is Chatzi Melacha. Okay, I'm going to sum up for 1 second and then comments. But I think we really have beautiful love this year. Okay, what do we have here, guys? We have the Sage Friedman theory in Rabbi Chanan. Namely, Chatzi Shear Chazli Tzdrufi is a siman. What does it mean it's a siman? Things don't get bad just because you did more of them. Either they're bad or they're not bad. Therefore, if it's bad to eat a kazayin of chametz, it is also bad to eat half a kazayin of chametz. That's the siman theory as opposed to the siba theory. We have now seen where that might break down. Maybe there are cases where quantity is quality. What I call where there's a threshold. If you cross the threshold, you did the act. If you didn't cross the threshold, you're not doing it. There's no such thing as half of a home run. Half a home run is zero parts of a home run. So maybe you could say the same thing. We had two good examples so far, guys, right? One is the Noah Sage example in the Svas Emes. If I just do an Akira and just do Hanacha, that's not Chatzi Shear, that's actually, what was the phrase again, guys? Chatzi Melacha. I didn't only have Melacha. But the Ritvet, even bigger Kiddush. You might have thought that carrying two Amot in Shudar Abim is not like that. He says even carrying two Amot is like that. Because where did four Amot come from? Not some magic number for the sake of argument. The sense that there's your area, your domain, and four amot is beyond your domain. But once that's true, if I carry something two amot, I didn't carry it half beyond my domain. I never passed the threshold. And that's not a sederaita, that could at most be a sederaita. Okay, now comments. Josh Milstein.
But if we're making a distinction in Eruv, where there's a difference between carrying a crazy little bit of an amount between carrying a crazy and or two amot and four amot, because it's not considered zero to two. What would the opposite way with
the Sfarah be? Wait, say it again?
Meaning,
I just missed the last word. The Sfarah be the opposite way with?
I mean, we're saying that the Sfarah is saying that Tumamot with an Eruv is because it's still considered within your domain. What would the
no, well, why did you throw in an Eruv?
Huh?
Oh, sorry, not Eruv. I didn't bring an Eruv at all.
Just
carrying a baseball, two amon
shirabim.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, is there a parallel far for that in Afila and Kippur?
No, so maybe the answer is no. Maybe Sage, this is where things get really interesting, guys. Maybe Sage is right about all eating prohibitions, that eating is eating, whether it's their quantity is just quantity, right? Either I eat a lot or eat a little, but it's all eating. But Otsa is not like that. So you're right, Josh. We have to figure out how far this new svar applies. I only want to bring up Josh to show that Sage might not always be correct. It could be he's never correct. It could be he's mostly correct. But again, the Sage assumption was quantity is only quantity. It's never about the quality of what you're doing. And I just wanted to develop a model where quantity is quality. And if quantity is quality, you could say here we would not say Chatzi Shear is Aser D'Oraita. Okay? But you're right, though. Maybe it's limited to Shabbat for the sake of argument. Yeah, David Ben-Tor. Why, what would be a siyah? Oh, we're back there again. Okay. David Bento with his famous chiddush that there are 38 melachot that are independently asur. And one of them is a siyog for the others. It's very interesting chiddush. Go ahead.
I think one could ask, why is it that we add a side at this point go around the entire answer by using the error? Because if you're in line, you should be able to pair
that together after. Okay. Okay, you're saying the fact they were willing to circumvent it might indicate that.
Now, because we have a full more whole lot system with different, with, for example, books, which is their bottom.
David Bentor, you have to close your Baba Kama and go to Masechet Shabbos immediately. Okay, you've raised another very interesting question. What is the relationship between Muktzah and Hotzah? Should I view Muktzah as some kind of mini Hotzah or some kind of expansion of Hotzah? Or Muktzah and Hotzah have nothing to do with each other? That's the question you're raising, right? To some degree. Okay, there's a huge conversation in Hilchot Shabbat. So David, you have three things to investigate in Hilchot Shabbat. Tell Rav Gavriel, I'm not doing Baba Kama until I learn all of Masechet Shabbat. Okay, one would be Why is Hotzah Melacha Grua? Okay, two would be, actually we'll just do two. And two would be, what is the relation between Mukta and Hotzah? Okay, anybody else with a question? Yeah, Yoni Kurtz.
The example of Ritzvah gives of like Papo, wouldn't you say that that's actually not the best example because it's essentially different from our example of Patusha Afila? Because like, this one, like the whole point is that you will eventually accomplish a task that you're not allowed to do.
Right. You have to figure out, Yoni, I think some of the keys you have to think halakhically, that when I take it to Amud and stop, that's like a closed action and it's over.
Right.
And when I then do the next Amud, it's not added, it's a new one. If you think about it that way, then your question falls away. Right?
It's only if you analyze it like
at that exact time. Exactly. So, correct. I understand, but I just want to open the possibility of how you might be able to neutralize the question. If every Amud comes to a halt and then is like mailed in as a finished product, so then you never actually do the four Amud. Yeah, Joey.
How does Mar Ein in the
future?
I see someone walking.
Let's. I'm sorry. How do we get to Mar? 12:50. We can't. No, you're not allowed to ask the new rule. You can't ask any Mar Ein questions at 12:50. Okay. Yeah, Eitan Papa.
Is there like a final ruling we have, or is it basically? Like,
meaning, if Sage's argument wins or not?
Yeah.
We tend to assume that Sage is right about things like Isuri Achila, but in the two Shabbos examples, we tend to assume that Sage's argument does not apply. Both the Arba Amot and. And was it the case? And Akira without Hanacha or Hanacha without Akira? Yeah, Al.
If we did go to Yoni Kurtz's slippery slope argument, wouldn't that then also apply to the cases of Shabbat?
Okay, very good. Haven't got to what Al just said? That was a very clever point. Okay, maybe we'll close with this, even though there's a lot more to discuss here. Feel free to come over to me. The Sage Friedman argument would seem to lead to the Shabbos exceptions. Because again, what's the claim? Oh, if it's inherently bad, it's inherently bad even in a smaller amount. But that would not apply to Akira and to Arba Amot. But Al is absolutely right. If I was never talking about inherent badness, I was only talking about offense, a slippery slope, then arguably it makes no difference, right? Maybe even Chatzi Malacha should be Aser as far as the slippery slope is concerned. Very excellent. So in theory now, guys, we have three nafkamino in our Siman Tzibach Akira. The last minute of Pesach, is it a Isser Prati or an Isser Kali? And perhaps Al's point, is it a problem, Chatzi Melacha? If I'm Sage, I should say no. If I'm Yoni Kurtz, I should say yes. All right, everybody have a great Shabbos. Ashrei Yoshvei Veisel.